the country. And for the past few weeks, if you've been watching TV or listening to the radio, we've got debates, especially up in Scotland and Wales, even more than England, about how things should be, how things should be different, how they're going to make our lives better. And if you look at recently, down the road in Moorcroft area of the city, there's a by-election for the council. And the Conservatives and Labour, they're all going for it, telling us why their ideas are better and why they're better people and how they're going to fix the infrastructure and they're going to fix equality, inequality and the divide amongst people. And they're all doing this stuff. And they're giving these big visions about what they want to see happen in our city. And I've noticed when MPs and when candidates and councillors are all doing their campaigning, they use two different tactics to get people to vote for them. The first tactic is they try and give them hope, and they try and say to people, if you vote for me, you've got a better future. Have you noticed that one? And you notice that people talk about it, whatever country you're in, there's a line that says, you vote for me, you could put your hope in me, and I'll make the world better. Then there's the other line, which they tend to use a lot more now, is you don't vote for that person because he's going to blow up the world. You have the two extremes, don't we? Don't vote for them because they're evil. Don't vote for them because you don't know what they're going to do for you. They're going to eat your children. Okay, and they make these dramatic statements all the way through. And you think I'm joking there. There's a group in America that was sort of saying, don't vote for the Democrats because the guys who lead them are lizard people. Okay, and if you believe they're lizard people, I don't know where you stand. Okay, but they're not aliens. But that's how bad it's got. And you know, and when I read the Bible, I read it as being God's manifesto for us. God's promises, his outlines for a better future. And as I shared last week, God created the universe for us to live in, to enjoy. But humans decided that they wanted to live in a world that is different. They wanted to live away their own way, away from God. And God set out a plan. We read it in the Old Testament and the New Testament, to bring humans back to him, to reestablish his earth here, his kingdom here on earth even. And we see Jesus. And do you think about Jesus? Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God more than anything else. And Jesus, the Messiah, God in human form, coming to earth, he came and he said to us that we should be seeking God's kingdom. In fact, he said these words. He said, may your kingdom come soon. Yeah, your kingdom come soon, where your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I love how the pastor, John Mark Comer from America, says this. He says, when Jesus says these words, notice that Jesus assumed God's will was not being done on earth. That's why he said, pray your kingdom comes, God. When we look around our world, we see that our world is still broken. And that's why Jesus' main aim was to show us a different way of living, was to bring his kingdom here on earth. And as we see in Luke 4, verse 14 to 30, we see Jesus lay out his manifesto. We see Jesus say why he was coming to earth, how his kingdom was going to change things. And this is what it says. I just want to focus on verse 18. And Jesus said this. He said, the reason he's come is this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be free. Now, for those of you who are good at the Bible and you understand your Bible, you will know that Jesus is quoting Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 58. And in both of those passages, God is speaking against injustice, against abuse of power, against inequality. And Jesus here is using these words to remind us of what God's priorities are, of what his priorities are. And I believe that this verse in particular, in Luke 4, verse 18, here, these are really important for us as a church. Not just Burslem Elam Church, but every church to hold on to. These are values that are really important. These are kingdom principles that God wants to see in our world. You know, Jesus wants this. He wants good news for the poor. He said he's come to for freedom for the captive, recovery for the blind, to set the oppressed free. When I look at those things, here we go. So put a PowerPoint up here. There we go. We still need those today, don't we? We still need the poor, still need to hear good news. If you look at the news, you see in the world that the rich, last year, the richest people in the world got even richer, okay? And the poorest in the world got even poorer. Freedom from captivity. Guys, we've got so many people that I'm coming into contact with over and over again who've got addictions, who are struggling, who've got even with all sorts of addictions, all sorts of struggles. When I was out on my run this morning, I noticed first thing in the morning, even before it opened, there was a queue of people at the bookies, okay, in Fegays, all waiting to go in and put their bets first thing in the morning. Now, I don't want to be judgmental of anyone, but if you're having to wait outside the bookies to put your bet on first thing in the morning, okay, you're desperate to get in there. There is more people now who are ill than at any time before. And there's more people living in oppression. And God doesn't want any of these things. God doesn't want them in the world. God wants us to help be the answer with Him to tackle these issues. And like many different things, when Jesus says these words, good news to the poor, freedom to the captive, recovery for the blind, set the oppressed free, I think they have two meanings. They have a spiritual meaning and like a physical meaning. I believe He wants to help the spiritually poor and the physically poor. I believe He wants to help the spiritually captive and the physically captive. I believe He wants to help the spiritually blind and the physically blind. You get the idea? If Jesus was a politician and you read this manifesto, I don't know how you'd feel, but when I look at it, I'm saying this is a really bold manifesto. He really wants to make a difference in the world. Would anyone like to see these things happen in the world? Anyone like them? I know I certainly would. And Jesus said, this is why He's come. He didn't come for us to sing a few nice songs. He came for us to bring this verse into practice. Now take the good news to the poor, for example. Jesus, when we look at the original culture, the language that this was written in, it doesn't just mean financially poor. It goes further than that. It means those who have got poor social status. It means those who have got poor education. It means those who have got poorly recognized, that no one notices them. Do you ever feel like no one notices you? Don't put your hands up, okay? We all feel like that sometimes, don't we? That we're anonymous, that we're trying to make it in the world and no one seems to notice us. Jesus is talking about those people here. You know, in our world today, there's still people who are facing those. And Jesus says, I have come to give them good news. In His kingdom, those who are poorest, those who are forgotten, who feel forgotten, are noticed. And for me, that's hope. You may feel that no one is noticing you right now. But God is saying to you, you are noticed. Can you say with me? I am noticed. I am noticed. God notices you. He knows what's going on in your heart. I love how Pete Scazzaro, he's a pastor I follow a lot in New York. And he said this, we are called to be a church of the poor and the marginalized, not simply a church for the poor and the marginalized. Guys, we're not just supposed to do nice things for people in the hope that they might become Christians. We're supposed to be made up of broken people. I like this saying because I'm a broken person, okay? I'm a person that gives me hope in the church that God hasn't created a church as a nice social middle-class club, but He's made the church, His kingdom, is for those who are broken, for those who don't fit in, for those who are messed up, and I think that's everybody. If you feel on the edge, if you feel shunned, if you feel rejected, Jesus' kingdom is for you. If you feel like you don't fit in, Jesus' kingdom is for you. And guys, we've got to keep going. We need to keep pushing in. and praying this comes into our world. Then we've got freedom from the captives. As I shared earlier, you know, we've got so many people in our world who are captive to stuff. There are people who are captive to fear, who are scared of things. There are Christians who are captive to religion. They don't want to change the way they're doing things, okay? Do you know what Jesus said? He said, I've come to set the captives free. And there's so many Christians who are desperate to be back in captivity, aren't there? You know, the ones who are very judgmental and wanting you to follow everything just the way they want it and really put bondage on themselves. And Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free. Jesus said he's come to bring healing, both healing spiritually and physically and emotionally. And I think this one's really hard for us because as Christians, we mustn't stop praying for people. Can you say with me, I mustn't stop praying. I mustn't stop praying. Because you know what happens? I've met a lot of people, and this seems to be the same situation that's going on and on and on. You pray for something, and you pray for it, and you pray for it again, and you pray for it again, and you pray for it again, and nothing seems to happen. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Have you had stuff that you've prayed for over and over again, and just nothing happens? So do you know what you start thinking? You start thinking, what's the point of praying? Now, you'd never tell me that because you want to seem spiritual, okay? And you keep that really quiet into yourself. And you think, well, it's risky if I pray. Do you know what God says? Keep going. Keep praying. Don't give up. In Luke 18, there's a great verse. I encourage you to read it at home later. It's about a widow who doesn't give up, who keeps pushing in, keeps pushing in, keeps pushing in. And God says, don't give up praying, keep going. And also the last thing is in God's kingdom, there is also spiritual oppression. Guys, we don't like to talk about what to call it, the Satan and the devil much anymore, do we? We keep it quiet. We seem like we're a bit wackos. I'd encourage you, I put a video on there just to explain. It's on the little barcode if you scan, have a check out, and I go into it more detail. But we need to be aware that we have an enemy, that's Satan. And Jesus has come to lift the oppression that we face by Satan. And I encourage you to watch that video because Satan's tactics aren't always what you think they are. Guys, I'm coming in to finish. You can breathe. Like, yes, he's coming in. But in a world that is more broken than before, this verse gives me hope. Hope that there is a better way. Hope that Jesus understands our world. Hope that God hasn't forgotten us. And the question I want to finish with today is this. Are you prepared to trust Jesus? Are you prepared to put your hope in him and say, your kingdom come, God, not my kingdom?